You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, January 14th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could join us today. Today is actually the first day of the Oregon legislature. They are in session, and they have released, I do believe we can refer to it as a plethora. Yes, that's right, a plethora of marijuana-related bills. Some good, some bad. We're going to take a look at all of them today in the Radical Rant. So stay tuned for that coming up at the end of the hour. Oh, I've got some ranting to deliver to our state legislators. We will talk about that coming up soon. Also on the show today at half past, we're going to do a little Cannabis Chronicles. And our guest today is Alex Rogers. He's the coordinator of the International Cannabis Business Conference happening in San Francisco about a month from now. It's February 15th and 16th at the Hyatt Regency in downtown San Francisco, right there on the Embarcadero. We will be there. We'll be bringing you live coverage and interviews from all of the great speakers. Alex will tell us about how things have changed since the first International Cannabis Business Conference in Portland last year, and what they're expecting for the Cannabis Business Conference in San Francisco this year. There are some great speakers and panels lined up. Alex will tell us all about that at half past. Also on the show today, we're going to do some drug war data mining. We're taking a look at a great website out there. It's called medicalmarijuana.procon.com. .org. We've referred to it in the past, and today we're just going to sift through and find some interesting details about the 23 states and the District of Columbia who allow for the medical use of marijuana. But they couldn't be more different from each other. We'll show you how in drug war data mining. Also on the show today, we'll do behind the headlines right after the news. And in behind the headlines today, we're taking a look at the progress of the Schedule 1 designation of marijuana on trial at the federal level. This is an amazing development that a judge has actually granted the motions to discuss whether or not it's even constitutional to ban marijuana as a Schedule 1 drug. All sorts of great information coming out of that. And while it's kind of a long shot, if it does go our way, it would set an amazing precedent that the courts would have to revisit, and hopefully the U.S. Congress would have to also revisit. Or hell, maybe the president or the attorney general could just remove it from the schedule, as they have the power to do without Congress or without the courts. We'll figure out all of that in behind the headlines. But first, we start off with the 420 radio news. And in the headlines today, the D.C. Marijuana Legalization Initiative has been transmitted to Congress for the 30-day review. A representative in Texas wants to pass a marijuana decriminalization bill. In Washington state, they're looking at legalizing industrial hemp. Yeah, that's right. They legalized recreational pot, but didn't cover industrial hemp. We'll talk about that. Brazil in South America has approved the use of cannabidiol for medical purposes. We'll tell you which purposes. In Connecticut, their medical marijuana program was looking to add four conditions that would qualify for medical marijuana coverage. Three of them made it. We'll tell you which ones in the headlines. And a protest in Arizona at the state capitol drew over 100 people calling for marijuana decriminalization and marijuana legalization. We'll talk about that as well. Plus, an hour or two, we'll do Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. We're also going to talk a little bit about Dianne Feinstein, the Bay Area senator from California, who is one of the most anti-legalization people out there, and 2 Chainz versus Nancy Grace on marijuana legalization. You gotta see it to believe it. It's all coming up on the Russ Belville Show. Stick around. We're back in about 90 seconds.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show.
the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Big Daddy Think.
Funky Roller Rink. Roller Rink.
Oh yeah, this is Big Daddy, and I'll be your freakazoid every Thursday night, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Funky Roller Rink.
11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, only on RadicalRuss.com.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, January 14th, 2015. The Marijuana Legalization Initiative adopted by D.C. voters was transmitted to Congress Tuesday, starting the clock on a review period that defies efforts by Republicans to block its implementation. D.C. Council Chairman Phil Mendelson had Initiative 71 transmitted to the House and Senate Tuesday, starting the 30-day legislative review period during which Congress can move to disapprove the legislation. By transmitting the legislation, the council ignores the efforts of some Republican lawmakers who have sought to stop the legalization effort. Last year, Republicans amended a congressional spending bill to include language they say blocks the city from spending any money to loosen drug laws. To block Initiative 71 through this process, federal lawmakers could file a disapproval resolution that both chambers of Congress and the president would have to approve. The process has been used infrequently, however, with Congress successfully blocking only 3 laws over the last 40 years through that process. Texas State Representative Joe Moody is proposing a bill that, if approved, would reduce the penalties associated with possessing small amounts of marijuana. Moody said Texas spends $740 million a year to arrest and prosecute low-level drug offenders. Under Moody's bill, possessing 1 ounce of marijuana would result in a $100 fine. Currently, possessing up to 2 ounces of marijuana could land an offender in 6 months in jail and a $2,000 fine. Moody says his bill would consider the violation a civil matter. That way, the offender wouldn't have a criminal record. Lawmakers will also consider legalizing medical marijuana and the use of recreational marijuana. Moody said he's already heard from other lawmakers who support his bill. Quote, "In fact, just sitting on the House floor for the first day," said Moody, "I had 3 or 4 Republican members snag me and just say, hey, I've been getting a lot of emails about your bill," end quote. In Washington state, recreational marijuana is now legal, but industrial hemp, which has little THC, the high-causing chemical in pot, is illegal to grow. State Senator Jim Honeyford, a Republican of Sunnyside, and fellow lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are trying to fix that with Senate Bill 5012. The measure would allow the industrial growing, processing, and sale of hemp, the fibrous portion of the cannabis plant used in everything from clothes to cosmetics. The United States is the world's largest importer of hemp, according to a news release from the legislature Tuesday. The bill also would instruct Washington State University to compile a study about how to implement a hemp industry. The bill received its first committee hearing Tuesday in the Senate Agriculture, Water, and Rural Economic Development Committee and a public hearing. Brazil on Wednesday for the first time approved the use of a marijuana derivative to treat people suffering from severe seizures and other conditions. Directors of the country's health surveillance agency recognized the therapeutic properties of cannabidiol, saying it is now a controlled substance and no longer illegal. It can now be used to treat epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, and schizophrenia, among other disorders. Connecticut's medical marijuana program could be broadened to allow patients who suffer from sickle cell disease, chronic pain after back surgery, and severe psoriasis or psoriatic arthritis. Tourette's disorder, however, was unanimously rejected from being added to the list of debilitating medical conditions that allow a patient to buy and use medical marijuana. On Wednesday, the marijuana program's board of physicians voted on petitions seeking to add four debilitating conditions to the existing list of roughly a dozen medical ailments that allow a person to buy and use medical marijuana. State law currently allows Connecticut residents 18 or older to register as medical marijuana patients if they have any of the following conditions: cancer, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, intractable spasticity related to nerve damage in the spinal cord, epilepsy, cachexia, wasting syndrome, Crohn's disease, or post-traumatic stress disorder. About 125 people from across Arizona gathered in front of the state capitol on Monday morning to protest current marijuana laws and call for its legalization. The protest, organized by the advocacy group Safer Arizona, was one of many planned for the first day of the 2015 legislative session. The protesters circulated two petitions at the event, one to legalize marijuana and one to end the penalties for possession. The current penalties for illegal marijuana possession are a fine of $750 and up to nearly 4 years in prison, while sales could result in up to 12 and a half years in prison. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, January 14th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville. Radio, the activist radio station.
The Green Cross has been an amazing source of cannabis medicines for my pain management. Whether I need edibles or tinctures or topicals, I'm able to combine the two or three to give me really successful pain control.
It's the delivery service that Green Cross provides is just incredible. You get your medicine and it's delivered by a person that you know you trust.
Whether we come to you or you come to us, the Green Cross delivers.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
The International Cannabis Business Conference is coming to the Hyatt Regency Hotel in San Francisco, California, February 15th and 16th, 2015. Don't miss this exclusive opportunity to hear from the experts on the future of marijuana commerce, including scientists like Dr. Carl Hart, Dr. Amanda Ryman, and Dr. Stanton Peel, policy experts like Ethan Nadelman from Drug Policy Alliance, Anthony Johnson from Oregon's Legalization Campaign, travel author Rick Steves from Washington's Legalization Campaign, and California legalization pioneer Dale Sky Jones. Business experts like Harborside's Steve D'Angelo, ArcView Group's Troy Dayton, and UFCW union leader Dan Rush. Cannabis journalists like Ricardo Baca, Steve Bloom, and Doug Fine, and California Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, plus many, many more. Tickets are on sale now at internationalcbc.com, but hurry, last year's conference in Portland, Oregon was a sellout. International Cannabis Business Conference, San Francisco, California, February 15th and 16th, internationalcbc.com.
Welcome back, almost 14 after the hour, and today in Behind the Headlines, we're taking a look at the federal trial going down in Sacramento, California, where U.S. District Judge Kimberly J. Mueller is going to decide on whether or not the Schedule I designation for cannabis, marijuana, under federal law is constitutional. Now, this is a very, very unusual step. There's been many attempts by many lawyers to get a court to rule on Schedule I, and almost always this has gone down in flames. It's always been a situation where the government only has to prove that it followed its own guidelines as to whether or not marijuana is dangerous and whether or not it has a compelling reason to maintain its criminality. But this is the first time in decades that they've done a fact-finding hearing on the classification of marijuana. Now, keep in mind, Schedule I is the designation that says marijuana and any drug that's in Schedule One, has no medically accepted use in the United States, cannot be used safely even under a physician's guidance, and is a dangerous drug that is likely to be abused. So it's the three-prong test for something to be in Schedule One, which includes drugs like heroin, ecstasy, and LSD. Now, clearly, with 23 states and the District of Columbia recognizing the medical use of marijuana, another 10 states recognizing, maybe it's 11, recognizing the medical use of cannabidiol, and the continuing path of legalization in America shows that we've changed a whole lot of our understanding about marijuana since 1970. And that is one of the points that is being made by one of the lawyers, the main lawyer in the case, Xenia K. Gilg. She's a member of the Normal Legal Committee, and she says that scientific understanding and public acceptance of marijuana have grown substantially since courts last examined the federal classification. Of course, we've passed legalization in Oregon and Alaska, in Colorado and Washington, and 23 states have medical marijuana. Gilg says, quote, "It just shows that this country has recognized that marijuana is less harmful than, I would say, alcohol, and the law prohibiting it is absurd, particularly as it related to being up there with heroin and LSD," end quote. Now, the case itself involves some growers who were with an illegal grow out on, I think it was federal land, and the defense here isn't so much that they weren't growing, but that the law itself that bans them from growing is unconstitutional. Now, legal scholars are saying this is kind of a long shot. If we did get the judge to rule in our favor, it would only apply to those growers who had gotten busted, and then it would be appealed. If it's appealed, it's going to go to the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. If it agrees, then it would just be unconstitutional in the Western states that the Ninth Circuit covers. So it's an interesting path it will have to take. Now, the prosecutors tried to file a ton of motions to get this dismissed, this whole idea of deciding whether or not Schedule One is unconstitutional. They tried to get it dismissed. The judge rejected those claims, rejected those appeals. And the prosecutors are saying that, quote, "It is established that there is some dispute among doctors as to whether marijuana is medicine," end quote. This is like saying it's established there's some dispute among scientists as to whether global climate change is real. Yeah, maybe there's a few doctors out there that don't think it's medicine, but they are vastly, vastly outnumbered by the doctors who understand the medical benefits of cannabis. You only have to look at someone like Kathy Jordan getting relief from her seizures, or Charlotte Feige getting relief from her seizures, to understand that marijuana in its whole plant form even is very, very medicinal. Now, the hope here is that Judge Mueller is willing to take a stand. These judges are appointed for life. They're federal judges, and so they don't have the political pressures on them to have to run for re-election or to court donors. So it is possible that a judge who feels the evidence supports the decision could take a stand on this. I mean, we've had an Orange County judge is the one that declared California's death penalty unconstitutional. A federal judge also in California led to the demise of the ban on same-sex marriage, and that's happening all throughout the country. Now, during the hearing, witnesses that included people like Dr. Greg Carter and Dr. Carl Hart testified that marijuana has many medical benefits and less potential for harm than alcohol, tobacco, and many prescription drugs. It was also brought up that anti-marijuana laws were spurred by racism and are enforced disproportionately against African Americans. And another point that was made here had to do with... let's see if I can find this part that I was just about to mention. Sorry about that. I scrolled down and I lost what I was talking about. But the federal judge here is also presented with the evidence that marijuana use is far less dangerous than alcohol and tobacco and even the other drugs that are currently sitting in Schedule One. And when we understand that other drugs that are considered drugs of abuse, things like methamphetamine and cocaine, are in a lower schedule. They're sitting in Schedule Two. It just super highlights the point that marijuana is in the wrong schedule. I believe it should be removed from the schedules altogether. I think it should be out there with dandelions and oregano, for that matter. It shouldn't be on any federal schedules, but we have yet to see how Judge Kimberly Mueller will rule in this case. A decision is not expected until much later this year. We'll keep you posted.
Don't you blaspheme in here. Don't you blaspheme in here.
I wouldn't think of it. All right, folks, time for us to take a break. It's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone, so the folks in Denver are getting their smoke on. I hope you get that chance, too. When we come back, we'll have our drug war data mining, and we'll look at some trivia facts about the medical marijuana states. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. Radio, the home of marijuana experts. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
That's right, baby. We're keeping the funk alive right here at Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, your groovy home of soul, funk, and disco. So join me, Big Daddy, every Thursday night, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, at the Funky Roller Rink, where every night is Saturday night.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. It's 22 and a half, almost 23 after the hour. And in the Drug War Data Mine today, we're taking a look at a website that's called medicalmarijuana.procon.org. And I wanted to give you a look at this website. It's just a treasure trove of information. And you can find this at, like I said, procon.org. And one page that they have there is one that's called the 23 Medical Marijuana States and DC Laws, Fees, and Possession Limits. And a well done site in a nice little table here with a summary chart. Every state, the year that they passed their medical marijuana, the yes vote, if it was an initiative or if it was a bill, how did it pass in the House and Senate? The fee for getting on their medical marijuana program, the possession limits of both usable marijuana and cultivating plants, and whether or not those states accept other registry ID cards. And as you can see, every state is included in this particular list. And as you scroll down, you'll even find a much larger block for every individual state. So, you know, Alaska and all the details, every amendment, every House and Senate bill that was ever added to these to improve them or to change them in any way, and links to the supporting documents and the websites, the official state websites of these medical marijuana states. Again, you can find them at medicalmarijuana.procon.org. And I just wanted to bring up some trivia that I had discovered in researching the site today. Thought it'd be interesting to share. First of all, the one big important one, I think, is medical marijuana reciprocity states. It seems odd to think But here in Oregon, if you're a medical marijuana patient, if you go across the river to Washington, you're not protected. And in Washington, if you're a medical marijuana patient, you come across the river to Oregon, you're not protected, despite the fact that the two states have darn near the same qualifying condition lists and darn near the same limits, 24 ounces of usable material, 24 plants in Oregon, 15 plants in Washington. And both are legalization states. So why shouldn't they accept each other's medical marijuana recommendations? But in fact, only six states will accept a medical marijuana recommendation or card from another state. Those include Arizona, Maine, Michigan, Nevada, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island. So if you're a medical marijuana patient, there are only six other states other than your own that you can visit. Now, there are also there is also a great difference in the states that allow you to cultivate your own marijuana versus the states that force you to purchase it from a dispensary. The states that do not allow the growing of medical marijuana include Connecticut, DC, Delaware, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New Hampshire, New Jersey, and New York. Although there is some difference in what they will or will not allow. There is no home cultivation allowed at all in Connecticut, Delaware, Illinois, Maryland, Minnesota, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, or DC. In New Mexico, you have to get a special license. In Arizona, if you live 25 miles or more away from a dispensary, you can home grow. You can apply to home grow. In Massachusetts, you can get a hardship waiver if you want to home grow. In Nevada, it's another 25-mile halo around dispensaries where they cannot grow. And that will completely end by March 31st, 2016. Nobody in Nevada will be allowed the right of home grow for medical marijuana. Now, the medical marijuana movement started mostly with the initiatives that passed in California, Oregon, and other Western states, but not all states are initiative states. There are many of these medical marijuana states, in fact, now a majority of them, that have passed medical marijuana through their legislature, which include Connecticut, DC, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, Minnesota, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Rhode Island, and Vermont, all passed through the legislative process. And it's interesting when you correlate the limits, the home grow, how many conditions are available, and so forth, you will find that the states that passed it through their legislatures have much stricter medical marijuana programs than do the states that passed it through the vote of the people. One of these considerations would be how much medical marijuana can a patient keep on hand? Most of these states allow less than 3 ounces. That would include Alaska, Arizona, Colorado, DC, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Michigan, Montana, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and Vermont. Less than 3 ounces is supposed to do for a medical marijuana patient. And some of the states don't even specify exactly how much marijuana you can keep. A few states have what they call a 30 or 60 day supply. Who decides how much that is? Probably the sheriff in your county when he busts you. The 30 or 60 day supply states include Connecticut, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, and New York. Finally, many medical marijuana states have a registry, but only the following states absolutely require you to get on the registry and give you no affirmative defense without it. Those would be Alaska, Arizona, Connecticut, DC, Minnesota, Montana, New Jersey, New Hampshire, New Mexico, New York, and Vermont. And finally, there are 10 states with CBD only: Alabama, Florida, Iowa, Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, South Carolina, Tennessee, Utah, and Wisconsin. Medicalmarijuana.procon.org.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012.
Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about 7 people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and we've been promoting the International Cannabis Business Conference for a couple of months now, and joining us now to talk about it is the man himself behind the International Cannabis Business Conference. It's Alex Rogers on the phone with us. Alex, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ross.
Oh, so glad to have you here. And, you know, we did the ICBC, we can abbreviate here. We did the ICBC in Portland. It was by all accounts, a huge success. Is that what propelled you to want to move this to San Francisco, or why did you want to move it to San Francisco?
Well, I guess when we originally came up with the mission of the ICBC, you know, we wanted our first one to be in Portland. That was our strength. That was our home state. But we always had the inclination to, you know, put it in other relevant places. We didn't want it to always be necessarily in the same place. After Portland's event, San Francisco just seemed like the next logical place for us to take our ICBC. And one of the reasons that is because, you know, you see a lot of these business conferences popping up. You know, they're not all created equal, that's for sure. But we hadn't seen a business conference in Northern California, you know, one of real substance, and we'd been seeing them more in Washington or Vegas or in Denver. But, you know, I cut my teeth in the early 90s as an activist in the Bay Area, and, you know, I think people, once Colorado legalized, I think California kind of got forgotten, not by Californians, of course, but it just didn't have quite the same fervor that it had had before that. And so what we wanted to do is we saw that with Oregon legalizing and now California on the forefront of being the next, it being a tremendous, the biggest marijuana market on the earth. And so it just seemed like a logical choice to go there.
Now, of course, all of the cognoscenti in marijuana reform say that 2016 is the year, you know, everybody's going to go forward in California on marijuana legalization. And should it fall, then, you know, the whole country is up for grabs as far as marijuana legalization. Is the focus of ICBC then on the industry that exists now in California with medical, how it will exist in the future with legalization, a mix of all of that? Give us some of the flavor and the thrust of the conference.
Yeah, it's definitely a mix of all that. You know, we're big. We promote business. That's what we do. But what we do is we promote good business, and we promote conscious business also, and or doing business in a conscious way. And the entire first day of the the ICBC in San Francisco is dedicated to culture, politics, and advocacy. So we will definitely be talking about what the current situation is now. People have to know that, and that's very pertinent and germane to now. But as you know, this industry changes rapidly, and we would like to educate folks to the best of our ability and the best of our speakers' abilities on what they can expect to happen in terms of legalization and how that's going to change the business landscape.
It's the International Cannabis Business Conference at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, February 15th and 16th. We're speaking with Alex Rogers, who's the coordinator of the event. And you mentioned the speakers, and I've already seen the full list of all these speakers, and I'm really excited to be able to cover this and speak to these people. But give folks some of the headliners that you want them to get excited about and want to come to this conference for.
Man, there's a lot of people to get excited about. That's one thing we pride ourselves at the ICBC is our information. We're not an expo. We do have 30 booths, but it's more of a boutique accoutrements to the event. And we only have one track. So it's really important that we have an attractive one track. So that's one that the group, you know, you're talking about. A lot of the conferences you go to, there's many tracks, and you might get 100 people in each track. No, we really focus the group here, and in doing so, with only one track, it's really incumbent upon us to pick some bad mofos, and that's what we've done for this one. We've got Carl Hart kicking it off, Dr. Carl Hart, who you had mentioned in your earlier in your show with regards to rescheduling. He just knocked it out of the box a few months ago, testifying in front of the California legislator with regards to rescheduling cannabis. He's really the new up-and-comer right now. He's the guy saying what everybody should be saying and most people want to be saying, and he's taking a chance, but it looks like it's paying off for him, and he's becoming he's a newer neuroscientist, but we feel it's really important that if you're going to be in the cannabis industry, that you need to have some, you can't just be fodder out here, and you'll be seen as fodder if you're not hip to what's not only going on with the politics of cannabis, but with the science also. And Dr. Carl Hart's a really dynamic, fun speaker, so it's a great way to kick off the event. We also have travel guru Rick Steves keynoting the next day. Rick Steves, he's kind of like the okey-doke poster boy child for cannabis, and we love that. You know, it's this guy who's won the hearts of America through his travel, through his books and his traveling, and his TV, and is now coming out strong. Also a guy with a lot of sand who's coming out and taking seemingly a chance in doing so, but making a big difference. We got Ethan Nadelman, head of DPA. We've got Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, pretty much the only or the Republican in Congress pushing cannabis. We even have a free mixer event for anyone who has a ticket. A lot of the conferences, they charge for mixer events. We don't. We put that as an added little bonus for folks who do buy a ticket. And we've got Del the Funky Homo Sapien, Deltron 3030, performing for all conference members at a private party that evening. And so it's just, I mean, I could go on and on and on, Russ, and it's a tremendous lineup, our best ever.
Yeah, I agree. And check out the speaker list, folks. The website's internationalcbc.com, and I think it's /speakers will probably get you to where the speakers are. If not, there's a menu at the top. You'll figure it out. It's the internet, folks. Now, as far as this event goes, I'm getting some questions from our chat room, and one person would like to know, is this an annual event, or are you going to try to stage it maybe once a quarter in different states or something like that?
Yeah, we're not sure exactly. It's definitely not an annual event. We plan on doing Portland again in September, and that'll probably be the next ICBC. We weren't sure if we were going to come back to Portland right away, but because Measure 91 passed, we are, and we'll be doing that at the convention center, and I think that's the 12th and 13th, the Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. But that'll be on, all that information will be on the website. But, you know, we're looking at, you know, there's a lot of places we could do it. I will probably never have one in Vegas. I'll say that because Vegas is probably one of my least favorite towns in the on the earth, and so I probably just couldn't force myself to go to Vegas and do anything. But we are looking at not only places like Seattle, Denver, New York, Chicago, Miami, Honolulu. These are all options. We don't know where we're going to go after Portland. We'll probably just do San Francisco again. It seems like Portland and San Francisco, it's our way to really represent the West Coast, put Oregon on the map, and really bring California into the forefront. However, we have all those cities as an option. And lest we not forget, this is the International Cannabis Business Conference, so I'm actually looking at Berlin right now and possibly Sydney in the future.
Oh, fantastic. That sounds like a lot of fun. It's the International Cannabis Business Conference, Hyatt Regency San Francisco, February 15th and 16th, which is a Sunday Monday. Any reason why you picked a Sunday Monday?
Yeah, because it was the only two dates available when I really wanted to be in San Francisco. I thought about it. It seemed kind of an obscure time because Valentine's Day is the 14th. It's President's Weekend. I did a lot of talking to my colleagues and peers to see what they thought, and everybody seemed to think that President's Day weekend is not a deal breaker. And so it looks like that timing is working out perfectly. It looks like this event will sell out, and I got a little better deal with the hotel because the venue, I think, because doing an event in San Francisco, you're getting a lot bigger numbers thrown at you than doing one in Portland, and so it was pretty intimidating going in there cold trying to find a venue, and I got to say, working with the Hyatt Regency has been nothing but a pleasure.
Excellent. And I hadn't even considered that it was President's Day weekend. A lot of people might have that Monday off, and so it's really not that weird a schedule. Another question.
Yeah, it seems to be a perfect time, actually, oddly enough. So
I was going to say, another question from our chat room refers to the difficulty in getting legalization passed over the past couple times around, where people in the medical business oppose the idea of the legal recreational business. Do you find any of that among the people that go to the conference? And if so, how do you address that?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those elephants in the room. You know, California has what I call de facto legalization, which could be construed as such because basically anybody can get their card. It's not a stringent process like it is in some other states, Oregon included. And also, the Supreme Court of California a few years back ruled that even though counties have their own limits, it's unconstitutional to limit the amount of medicine one patient could have. So, you know, you have this same thing was in Oregon as we legalized. You know, I think it's really important to note in Oregon what's happening is there's some pretty there's many bills coming to Oregon right in this session right now that would like to completely revamp medical marijuana. And I think this is, which is something I'm completely against, as you know. I think that's what makes a legalization initiative. You want to keep your de facto legalization in your respective medical state, especially until the recreational laws would pair that. I think this is the crux. This is what I'm getting at. It's really important for Oregon not to do anything with medical, not because I just think that's the right thing to do, because it's a more liberal law. You just don't want to mess with that, especially until the laws, the rec laws, are in place. I think once the rec laws are in place for Oregon, we can look at changes to the medical program. But until that's ambiguous completely right now. And I think that's what California's fear is also. So not only do I think it's the right thing to do to not change medical whatsoever this session in Oregon, which they are trying to do, but we will be trying to stop that. I think by changing medical in Oregon now says, you know, because of course everyone voted for 91 saying, you know, if it had been known what was going to happen for Measure 91, that medical would be changed, not as many people would have voted for it. We know that. I don't know what it would have been. And New Approach isn't the one changing it. They've kept to their word. Okay,
yeah.
This anything can be introduced at any time in the legislature, and that's what's happening. So there were nobody broke any promises or told any gave out any misinformation. However, when 91 passed, it seemed like there was an impetus for many different reasons to change medical in Oregon. But if you do change medical in Oregon, it's going to hurt California's chances, or too early, I should say, change medical. It's going to hurt California's chances. And let me tell you, people in California are watching to see what happens to Oregon's medical program this session because it's a big, big deal and it has repercussions across the country.
Yeah, it's the International Cannabis Business Conference. You can find more online, internationalcbc.com. Early bird pricing still available, so get it while you can. It's going to sell out, folks. Absolutely. Alex Rogers, thanks for joining us. Thanks for your support, and we'll see you down there in San Francisco.
Sounds great, Russ. Always a pleasure, man.
All right. When we come back, we're going to take a look at those Oregon bills that he was just referring to. A plethora of bills. Stick around. We're back right after this.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
In the Odyssey, Homer explores the depths of human tragedy.
Yo.
The second.
Huh?
Hey, man.
Here, through the eyes of Odysseus, he's being challenged by Cyclops.
I feel like everyone you know is smoking pot.
I'll take that, mister.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 48 after the hour, and on a previous show, we introduced you to the plethora of bills introduced in Washington State having to do with marijuana. Well, here in the Pacific Northwest, the Oregon legislative session is begun, and there is an even bigger plethora. Can you have a bigger plethora? I don't know how that works. But an even bigger plethora of marijuana and medical marijuana bills to talk about. Let's get to them because we don't have a whole lot of time here. A Democrat out of Springfield, Oregon, has introduced a measure called House Bill 2636, which would limit doctors to approving medical marijuana cards for no more than 450 people. Yeah, this is because they found that about 9 doctors in the state approved about half of the 56,000 medical marijuana recommendations. Now, the reason this happens, of course, is because most doctors won't recommend, and not because they don't want to, but because they can't. They're tied up by their insurance, their clinic, their practice, whatever it might be. They're not allowed to. So there's no more surprise in having a few specialists that recommend medical marijuana for patients than finding out that most of the abortions in Kansas are done by one doctor. It's just supply and demand. There's a lot of demand and very few people supplying that. I would be against this bill. I mean, do we limit doctors on how many patients they can write other prescriptions for? Now, there's a House bill, two House bills coming from Representative Greg Smith. These are two of the most offensive things I've heard of. House Bill 2040 would prohibit retail sales of marijuana within 1 mile of a school. And 2041 would allow cities to establish a 1 mile exclusion zone around schools. A mile away from a school? Do you realize that just Lincoln High School in Portland, Oregon, just one high school in Portland, Oregon, it's in the center of kind of the western side, you know, across the river where all the skyscrapers and the downtown district is. 1 mile radius around that one school means there could not be a single grow, processor, or retailer anywhere on that side of the river. That is just ridiculous. And I have full confidence that these bills will be shot down in flames. Democrat from Gresham is pushing Senate Bill 445, which would require warning signs and labels on pot and at the dispensaries that indicates the use of marijuana by pregnant women could heighten the risks to their babies. Well, folks, there's not a whole lot of good data to support that. There are the tiniest differences, and we see one study that'll show the kids are even better off compared to the ones that whose mothers didn't use marijuana. But hey, they got warnings on alcohol about pregnancy. I don't see it's too much of a stretch to have warnings about marijuana. A pregnant woman should at least consult her doctor. So I'm not too against that bill. House Bill 2781 would prohibit state funds from going to daycare providers with medical marijuana cards. This became a big deal because in 2014, there was a TV report about two daycare providers in Salem who had medical marijuana cards, who used their medical marijuana, not in front of the kids, not in any room where the kids were or anything, but they're legitimate patients dealing with pain. And that freaked everyone out. Oh my God, the potheads are taking care of the kids. I'm against this. There is no reason why we should prohibit state funds from going to daycares based on the medicines that sick people working there are using. This is more discrimination against marijuana. If it's a medicine, it's a medicine. Let's stick to that idea. Democrat from Ashland has introduced House Bill 2668 for hemp farming. Now, we have legal hemp here in this state, but it requires that the farmers get a permit from the state. This would remove that requirement. It would make it so anyone could just plant hemp. Don't have to get a permit. Don't have to get a license. You can just plant hemp. And that makes sense considering that we're allowed to plant psychoactive marijuana, both medically and now recreationally. Why should there be any permitting process for planting industrial hemp? Another bill that has been added is Senate Bill 464. Now, this one pertains to butane hash oil. In Measure 91, legalizing recreational marijuana, it explicitly banned the home production of butane hash oil. This bill, SB 464, would extend that ban to medical marijuana users. Now, this will be controversial amongst the medical marijuana folks who say they need to be able to home blast their own tubes of weed to get BHO. But as far as I'm concerned, the use of explosive gases within residential areas is not something we should tolerate. Now, I would be for finding some way of licensing or registering medical users to ensure that they're using closed loop systems for blasting or ensure that they've got a safe ventilated place for blasting. But that's a little detailed and has a lot of shades of gray in it. I would err on the side of public safety here and go with that bill, Senate Bill 464. We can't have people causing explosions within the residential neighborhoods. There are a pair of bills, Senate Bill 479 and Senate Bill 480, that have been put forth to study medical marijuana and how best to serve patients. Yeah, that's right, folks. We've had medical marijuana in this state for going on 17 years. Nobody's ever bothered to ask the patients if it works. Nobody's ever bothered to study how best to get them their medical marijuana. It was all this kind of, all right, sick folks, have at it. That seems ridiculous to me. And I support these bills because the more we learn from the patients, I think the better the better case we can make for medical marijuana all throughout the country. Another school exclusion zone bill, set of bills, Senate Bill 124 and Senate Bill 164, both from Republicans out of Klamath Falls, would tighten the penalties on selling or procuring marijuana within 1,000 feet of a school. Now, this is the thing that bothers me about these 1,000 feet away from a school or a playground or any of these buffer zones that they want to put up. Number one, none of these buffer zones are ever proposed for alcohol. I never hear anyone saying, we've got to put the Rite Aid more than 1,000 feet from the school to protect the children. Why do they always think that it's with marijuana that adults are going to decide to break the law and start distributing it to kids? And how does 1,000 feet make a difference? What, a kid who wants to go to the pot dealer is not going to go 1,025 feet? It's just a ridiculous exclusion. And when we're talking about urban areas like the downtown Portland core, Southeast Portland, any of these urban areas that are laden with schools and parks and playgrounds and such, all these exclusion zones is all they do is push medical marijuana and recreational marijuana out into red light districts. All they do is burden sick people and recreational consumers unnecessarily. Now, I'm all for having enhanced penalties for selling to minors or enticing minors or advertising to minors. But the mere geographical location of a building with frosted windows you can't see in and a sign that says adults can go in and buy marijuana and adults are carded when they do so and they get it in an enclosed, in an opaque childproof container, and then that opaque container is put into a brown paper bag that is also opaque. How does that harm the children? Oh my God, if the kids were to lay eyes on that, they might think marijuana is just no big deal. It's ridiculous, and this kind of discrimination and prejudice against marijuana businesses needs to end. And finally, Senate Bill 460 has been introduced that would allow medical marijuana dispensaries to remain in place even if a school moves in to the 1,000-foot exclusion zone. The idea being here that if you've already established a medical marijuana dispensary, you're already serving patients, they're already depending on that location. That location shouldn't be forced to go out of business because now a new school is opening up nearby. I would support this, of course, as a makeshift measure until we can end all of these exclusionary zones. But you know, half a loaf's better than none. We'll take that one. That wouldn't be so bad. This at least 16 marijuana-related bills that have been introduced in the Oregon legislature, and many more are in the works. They're going to try tinkering with everything. You know, they're going to go after trying to grandfather in these local taxes, all of these areas, all these localities passed on marijuana, something explicitly against the intent of Measure 91, which gives sole taxation authority to the state. In fact, there's a lawsuit that has just been filed in Newburgh, which is one of these cities that passed such a tax, demanding that the city of Newburgh cite the authority by which they are taxing marijuana. And think about this, right? Newburgh, the city, says we're going to tax recreational marijuana, but they said so before recreational marijuana was a legal thing to tax. So how do you pass a tax on something that cannot legally be taxed, just assuming that it will become legal someday, especially when what made it legal explicitly forbids you from passing a local tax? These and other issues are going to be at play in the Oregon legislature all throughout the session. We'll bring you as much coverage of the legislative politics and session as we can. I will also be involved in my new role as the executive director of Portland Normal, attending some of these hearings and meetings, and doing our lobbying from the consumer's point of view as to how these things should play out. Wow, folks, time flies when you're legalized. That's all the time we got for today, but stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111 and look at some other stories of the day, including 81-year-old Dianne Feinstein, the senator from the Bay Area, who does not understand what her constituents really want. And, of course, Nancy Grace versus 2 Chainz. How can we pass that up? For everyone here at 420radio.org, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you plan it, you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plan it.